Hello, good morning. Welcome to your class, Digital Animation 101. Today we are going to talk about three basic concepts that came from the analog times of animation, but they will be very useful for your understanding of digital animation. Those concepts are persistence of vision, frames per second, and keyframes. I guess many of you are familiar with this idea of the persistence of vision. In animation, it's very important because animation is the art of bringing animating drawings to animating objects, kind of bringing to life or having rendering movement in the screens or in paper. And this idea comes of persistence of vision comes from the 19th century. It was a theoretician who was focusing especially in the eye, and he said that the eye kind of retains every image for a little bit, so the next image that you see kind of mix with the image that you saw. So it seems like when you are watching images, still images, you always are retaining in your eye the one that you saw before, and you bring it to the next one. That's the reason it looks like you are looking at a continuous kind of a stream of images. In the 20th century, a lot of people has disagreed with this effect of persistence of vision, because they started to study the brain, and neurologists have realized that it's not actually the eye, but it's more the brain who retains the information. But anyways, this concept is very helpful for understanding why we can animate objects or drawings. I just brought some little toys from the 19th century that were based on this principle. So many of these toys worked in cylinders or in strips that you can spin. For instance, the Fennekin's cope, you spin this wheel, and then you project. You were looking into a mirror and trying looking through these slots, and you were looking at these images spinning. Another kind of toy, optical toy from the 19th century is the zoetrope, and it has the same concept of spinning, but instead of having a wheel, it was a kind of a cylinder with the images, and you were looking through these slots. So this is the effect that you can see when you put the cylinder to rotate. And another optical toy from this era is the sopraxiscope, with the same concept, but here improving, we have an improvement, and it's the viewer. So instead of having like these tiny slots, you will have like a viewer. So you put a disc in this machine, you make it a spin. Each image is different, but what you watch through the viewer is that this kind of animation, these animals getting like rendered in motion. So this idea of what you have seen clearly kind of bridges us to the concept of frames per second. And it's all these images that were being spinned or you were being passing very fast in front of your eyes, they were like always framed. And with the advancement of the cinematograph and the other cinematic apparatus, we encountered that the film strip, the celluloid, had many strips, so you can kind of take photographs. You can also paint on these in each of these frames, and then make them project them into a screen going very fast. So the idea of frames per second is basically that how fast each image is being projected in front of your eyes, and this. We encounter, depending on the technology, different, and also the periods of time, different frame rates. So for instance, in silent cinema, when the cinematographer and the cinematograph was not totally developed, we have like 16 to 18 frames per second. In sound cinema, the speed was fixed, and we have 24 frames per second. In television, we have 99.90 frames per second, and in the web, usually what you are watching is 12 frames per second, for instance, the animated GIFs and all of those things. So it's interesting because what you are going to be doing when you are like using the computer for animation, one of the first steps that you will have to set is your frames per second. And I just brought here this image of Norman MacLean to explain how animation can be done in many different ways. For instance, this animator, like to paint each little frame with a little ink and a little brush, and he was doing very meticulous, but imagine if you have to paint 24 frames for just a second, how many frames you have to paint if you want to do like a 5 minute film or 2 minute film. So it was very time consuming. Hollywood, for instance, created this kind of industrial way of producing animation. They devised the studio, the animation studio. They have like one guy who was creating not the whole, was not creating all the drawings that were gonna be in each frame, but he was doing like few. Imagine if you want to do 24 frames, he just draw, let's say, three frames, and these three frames were called keyframes. And these keyframes were passed to the other animators, let's say, like the people who was more in a position where they were like not as expert and not as talented as the key animator, and they were drawing the frames that were in between those keyframes. So, and this brought up to the idea of keyframes, that is that a keyframe defined the starting and ending points of any smooth transition, and also represent an important moment in an animated sequence. And in the computer, the computer is gonna do the job of the in-betweeners, or the people who was drawing the frames between the keyframes. So you will tell the computer, okay, I wanna go from this point in the first frame to this point in the 24th frame, and the computer will do a mathematical calculation and draw the frames, the 22 frames that are in between those keyframes. I want you to ask you just like a little exercise. For instance, here we have a sequence of a clown. We have 30 frames. I just want to ask you, which ones do you think are the key frames here, or which ones could be the key frames, the ones that really define the movement of this clown? Anybody? For instance, if we have the frame one, which one as a key frame? Which one could be the second key frame? Paul?
Four,
yes. So you can easily jump from one to four, and the I mean, it will look like a little abrupt, but you can easily jump from that. Anyone want to guess which one could be the third keyframe?
Eight?
Oh, but yeah, I will say seven because we'll stay the same, yeah. Yeah, so seven could be, and then we can also, anybody wants to guess the next one?
12.
Okay, yeah, so you go to 12, maybe after 12 we go to 15, we can do from 15 to 18, and well, you can imagine, because we are running out of time, I just want to do a little experiment before we finish our class, and I wrote some cards, and I want you to work in pairs, building like a little animation. One of you will be like the key animator, and the other one will be the in-betweener. So I will give you 12. We will do like 12 frames per second, and you will work in pairs. And one, you define first which motion you want to represent. Could be as simple as a little a stick moving, or like a little wheel, or like a little ball, up to you. And I can show you, I in a sense brought like one that I did, I can show it to you. It's very simple, but you can easily like kind of render. You define like three keyframes or four keyframes, and then you give it to your your in-between animator, and he will draw the next steps. That's it.
Should we pretend that we did that?
Yeah, you can pretend because we don't have enough time, right? So you did it. Okay, let's say you did this one. So thank you, Paul, for doing this one.
You're welcome, Andreas.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, thank you very much. Oh, well, One question is, what does happen when the keyframes are closer to each other? What can you notice after this exercise? What did you notice it happen? If you have keyframes that that are very close to each other, so you have many in-betweens. Yes, Josh?
The motion is smoother, right?
Smoother?
Yeah, less smooth.
Oh, less smooth.
Okay. Less keyframes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, this is a very interesting thing because with this you can, if you understand keyframes, you can start to time your animation in different ways, make a character doing a squash and a stretch in a different manner. So it's very important, and I hope it, when you jump into the computer, you will be as engaged as you did it with the flipbook. Thank you very much.